Obama went down to D.C. He just became the president. He won the campaign despite his middle name, and off to the White House he went. When he came across George W. in the Oval Office not doing squat, that's when Barack jumped up on the desk, said, "Bushy, let me tell you what. I bet you didn't know it, but I'm the president-elect. I don't mean to be gruff, but move your stuff, the economy is wrecked. Now you were a pretty good leader, sir, but give Obama his due. I'm gonna fix this mess, get the terrorists, plus I speak better than you." Bush said, "Your name's Barry, and I just wanna say, don't make the mistake, think the job is cake. In a year, you won't think that way." Obama's bringing hope and change from Chicago to D.C. since he has been elected as commander-in-chief. And if he's good, he will get re-elected president. But if he stinks, we'll call him an experiment.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station, your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
Flashier than the new spring collection. More powerful than a double mojito. Able to dance to anything with a good beat.
Look, up in the sky. It's colorful.
It's trendy.
It's fabulous.
It's Fabulous Man.
Yoo-hoo!
Yes, Fabulous Man. Strange visitor from the Fashion District who came to Earth with attitude and flair far beyond those of heterosexual men. Fabulous Man, who can change the decor of any room, style hair with his bare hands, and who, disguised as Ryan Seacrest, mild-mannered host for a popular reality show, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and Proposition 8.
It's Vinny Penn with your 760, the past 7 days in 60 seconds. The award season kicked off with the Golden Globes. The highlight was when Ryan Seacrest made a fool of himself chasing Brangelina like they were his 15th minute of fame. Speaking of Seacrest, the 8th season of American Idol debuted Tuesday with a brand new judge named Cara it's easier to just call her by her nickname. Paula's replacement. Ricardo Montalban passed away at the age of 88. According to his will, he requested his casket be lined in soft Corinthian leather. Spider-Man creator Stan Lee announced he will unveil a brand new gay superhero. It's raining X-Men. Hallelujah. And finally, the idiot of the week, Tim Allen, who at 55 is going to be a father again. At 55, it is most definitely not tool time. I'm Vinny Penn, and that was your 760.
Saudi Arabia extends equal rights to bearded ladies. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia received high praise by human rights groups today as King Abdullah agreed to afford bearded ladies similar rights to those of men. From now on, Saudi bearded ladies will be permitted to vote, drive a car, and move about freely in public. Amnesty International Director Miles Browning.
This is clearly a step in the right direction, but there's a long, long way to go.
Arab observers say the Saudi king will never repeal the ban on lobster boys, as they are an insult to Allah. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Shopping with the Wife on Football Sunday.
Mr. Shopping.
Sundays are days when men plop their behinds on the couch for hours and watch other men exert themselves on the gridiron. But no, not you. You're driving to Bed Bath & Beyond.
First and 10 with a new bath mat.
What happened to you, Mr. Shopping with a Wife on Football Sunday? How could you possibly let swearing about a game-changing holding penalty become holding her purse at the fashion bug?
15 yards for being a schmuck.
Sir, are you really that pee-whipped?
And P doesn't stand for punt. Hey.
So the next time you're depressed because your team lost the game on a missed field goal, think of the poor guy who missed the game altogether, subjected to hours of cute shoes and matching handbags. Mr. Shopping with a Wife on Football Sunday, a real American hero.
Mr. Shopping with a Wife on Football Sunday.
This throwback jersey doesn't make me look fat, does it?
Hey,
Good morning and welcome to Friday. We're live today. It's January 16th, and this is the last day of the period where Susie's going to be gone, so we're waiting for her to be back on Monday. In the meantime, we have Mr. TJ McCormick back in the studio.
Hello, hello, hello.
Good morning. Thank you for gracing us with your presence
always
this morning.
Always a pleasure. Always yes. A pleasure. I've been gone too long. I've been sick as a friggin' dog.
Yes, what happened?
I got sick. I picked up a really, really, really bad... I got my flu shot a couple of months ago, and so it's been really good. I haven't gotten any flu.
Right.
But I've picked up a couple of bugs along the way that have just been really bad and you know, kind of contagious. So I've really got to stay away. But this last time was a bad head cold. It was really bad. I couldn't breathe. It was awful.
Yeah.
Awful, awful.
So you think you're more susceptible to being sick now? I mean, are you? I sent you a question asking you, do you feel stressed about the impending arrival of a baby?
That could be. I'm sure my defenses are down a little bit because I'm probably stressed a bit about the arrival, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the kind of, and I'm wired that way. I get real stressed really
well,
easy.
Well, I think most people. That's why I asked you that question.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, I'm sure if anything, it's had an effect in the sense that, again, I'm probably, maybe a little bit more susceptible because I'm so stressed and my energy is going in that direction.
Right.
You know.
And, you know, some people won't admit that they're stressed out, you know, because it's supposed to be a happy time and everything.
Right, right.
Which it is.
It is.
It is a happy time.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because I've actually had to not remind Andy, but I've mentioned to Andy a few times.
Right.
I said, honey, you know what? I said, I think when you and I think about you going into labor and then having a baby, I said, I think our tendency is to get nervous and look at it as what could potentially be a frightening time. I said, what you and I have to do is we have to maintain that is going to be the greatest moment when you realize that you're in labor.
Yeah.
That is what we've been waiting for. That is the whole deal. Here comes the payoff. We're having
definitely,
our baby.
You know.
Yeah.
But there's some stress because your life is going to change forever
in
the matter of a few minutes.
For
that's
me,
it.
You know, I tell you what. I've had a long life of pretty much whatever the hell I want.
Mm-hmm.
I've been very blessed.
Yes.
You know, I left college after 1 year to do stand-up, and my family supported it. My family was really kind of annoyingly supportive. They have always wanted to know everything that's going on and so happy for me. It's like no angst at all. And, you know, I've made a living for more than 20 years where – I've been able to go to the mall at 2 in the afternoon. I've never really had any real responsibility.
Mm.
And but life goes on. You get a little bit more. You pay your taxes. You know, you get married. You start doing the right thing. Those responsibilities, you know, payments and this and that and finances. But I've had a long enough time of really just – my life has just been one whistle through the park. It really has
been.
I've been very blessed. So I'm not that concerned about how my life is. What I am concerned about, though, is providing.
Mm.
That is my concern.
Right.
Is the responsibility of it, and coming through and giving this little girl every single thing that she deserves and that she needs.
And I'm sure you'll give it to her. I mean, I'm not doubtful.
Yeah.
I wonder if she's going to end up being like you. You know, like funny.
God. Yeah. Well, I hope.
You know, I was listening to you, and I like listening to your show.
Yeah.
And I listened to you last night with Pamela.
Uh-huh.
And you're just an extremely funny person.
Oh, thank you.
And you know that.
Yeah,
I mean,
thank you. Yeah.
You walk around saying that.
There's
so.
Two questions. There's two compliments that I take very well.
Yeah.
One is that, like, if I cook for you, if you say, that is the best meal I ever had, I'd say, yes, that's the best. Yes.
Oh, really?
Because I know you like to
cook?
I love cooking. I'm a good cook.
Really?
And, like, there are certain meals that if I make it, you say, that's the best meatball I've ever had. I'll say,
really?
Yeah. You know. So that's one compliment I take well. And the other compliment I take well is say, Jesus Christ, you're funny. I never, ever back off of that. If somebody says I'm handsome, if somebody says that I'm such a knight or whatever, other compliments I don't take very well.
Right.
When people tell me I'm tall, I know they're just fucking lying. No. So I the only compliment I take well, really, too, is, you know, good meal and is that I'm funny. Because I just – I know it. And you know, the thing is, too, is that – I know also that that's about all I got is funny.
Yeah.
That's all I've got is funny.
Well, so. I don't know about that. You've got a lot going
on.
Thank
you, but I mean in the big picture.
Everybody that knows you thinks you're an extremely nice person, and you are, you know?
But, you know.
So
but,
give yourself more
credit.
You
see, I do. I try to, but you see what I'm saying? Here I am recoiling and going, I'm a nice person. Because also, you know, I'm also very aware of the bad things I've done in my life, you know? And there are things that I've done that I really regret or I don't look back on fondly. And so, you know, but I'll never ever, ever doubt the fact that I'm a really funny guy.
Right.
And even that's a humbling compliment, because that's something that I really have no control over. God made me that way. You don't learn how to be funny. You know, you don't learn.
This is in your bones.
It's in my bones.
Yeah.
You know? And so,
but do you have a hard time taking compliments?
Really? Can't take them. I'm not good at it. That says a lot about me and my personality, and you know, it's just again how I'm wired. Again, you got to understand, when I wake up in the morning, I'm the kind of guy, and I've said this on my show in the past, I'm the kind of guy that when I wake up in the morning, I feel like I have a massive boulder that I have to push up over a hill.
Really? Every day?
That's every single day. Wow. When I wake up, that's the way the world looks to me. That's the way my life presents itself to me, is that I have to take this massive, massive boulder and push it up a hill. And so my goal is to at least make that boulder a little bit smaller. And there are some days, within a few minutes of waking up, I've got that boulder in the palm of my hand and I throw it over the hill.
That's cool.
You know, other days it's a big friggin' boulder. And so, you know, but that's me, man. That's something I don't wish on my daughter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But then again, you know, a lot of people are like me.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I have to admit, I feel blessed
that I'm able to acknowledge it.
Yeah. There you go. You know, and that's one thing about you. You're very honest. You know, you don't hide anything.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure
you get some shit in your closet, but we don't really want to know about
it. No. Yeah. No. I got skeletons, and you know, they're
anyway, everybody. Yeah. I want to welcome the listeners back. We are here live.
Yeah.
The last day without Susie, and, I've definitely enjoyed TJ coming here sporadically. You know, we haven't had really any regular schedule the past couple weeks. But today I felt I want to do a show. I've missed being on the air. And we're going to have an awesome, awesome guest. And her name is Rebecca Linares. And this is supposedly a very hot, big porn star in Europe. Specifically Spain. So she's going to come here. I don't think she speaks very good English, but I'm sure she speaks the international language. TJ could not refuse this opportunity. And it's funny because, you know, we don't really have that many porn stars, but when we do, you always happen to be around. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, you can always count on me to show up. And I just find, you know what it is? Is that, you know, look, I'm 40, I'm married, I got a baby on the way. I'm over all of this porn stuff.
Yeah.
In terms of what they do, in terms of what they look like and all that, you know, living in the valley, you go to Ralph's, you go to a supermarket, there's a porn star online next to you. You go to the gym, there's a porn.
You can pick him out like that, because I never know who he is.
Oh yeah. I mean, not necessarily because I recognize them, but because and half the time it's because they look like hell.
Yeah,
you know, I bumped into one girl at Rite Aid the other night. I was getting all my stuff in my head called. I'm getting the tissues with lotion, which are wonderful.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I love the tissues with lotion. And I'm there online or in an aisle, and there was a girl there with a little dog, a little chihuahua looking thing, and she was looking for, and she was about to buy something that one time I gave my dog and it made him kind of sick, and I said, "Ooh, you don't want to get that."
Yeah.
And this girl, she turned to look at me, and she be underneath this awful drug hazed, just she looked like a mess.
Really?
Was a really beautiful girl.
Really?
A beautiful, beautiful, very sexy girl. Mm. But she had like a bit of coke crusted here under her nose and her nostril.
Oh, that's disgusting.
She had broken out. She had pimples and everything all here. Really? She looked like a freak. And I was like, geez. And I literally, God almighty, I kind of stepped back because I was like, Christ. And this girl was, she was a porn star, 100%, absolutely. I mean, because she had like the remnants of a day's worth of makeup on her from working on the set.
Right.
And it was just obvious. She would be. And anyway, so what it is with me is, I am fascinated with the industry. I'm fascinated with the people who are in porn. I really am.
Why is that? Why are you fascinated?
You know, because of the choice they made, and in a lot of cases, why.
Right.
You know, why they do what they do.
Well, don't you think? Well, I think it's because they like sex and they like money. Or let's say the other way around. Yeah. But still, you know, there are people around that claim that these chicks are sort of like pushed into it. I don't think in today's porn it's like that.
No, I don't think they're pushed into it.
No.
But I do think that there's a big element that do make the conscious decision. They do want to do it. They do it for the money. They do it because they like sex.
Right.
But also, there's a lot of abuse. There's a lot of there's a dark side to it. There's a lot of molestation, a lot of other, you know, daddy issues and this and that and the other thing. That are, you know, that are part and parcel of their decision making process. Again, none of them, I don't think a lot of them are forced into it.
No, but, I don't think so.
And those aren't necessarily the ones that I'm fascinated by. I'm like the other night or just before Christmas, Andy and I were at the mall, and Tara Patrick. You heard of Tara Patrick?
Yes, I've heard of her.
She was right behind us online.
Really, you
Victoria's
recognize
Secret
her
in a friggin' heartbeat.
Really,
there are some porn stars that you just go, God Almighty, she's stunning. She's awesome. She bangs for a living. Guys get to bang her for a living. She's amazing. Look at that.
Yeah.
And yeah, and that's when they're like, and it is like, it is a big star. Yeah. To me, I'm more impressed with Tara Patrick than if I had seen Meryl Streep in the mall.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, did she have a, like, a certain presence and stuff?
She,
I mean,
had
did
a
she walk like she's a big deal?
No, you know what? That's the thing. She was wearing jeans and like Uggs.
Right.
Like Ugg boots.
Well, they're not
going to,
you know.
And but she's very sexy. Yeah. Very sexy. And the thing is,
well,
I'd
she
seen
must
her,
be if she's become that famous.
Well, I had seen her at the and she is, by the way, all she is natural. She's normal. She's somebody discovered her in Idaho.
Oh, really?
She's from Idaho. Somebody saw her. I think it was somebody saw her at a store or something like that. She's from Idaho. She was a nursing student or something like that. But she, I had seen her at the L.A. Adult Con or the
Erotica LA.
I saw her at Erotica.
There is an adult con
in her
too.
Own. I mean, in her own booth. You know, she has her own. She has an empire. She's like Jenna
Jameson.
Sure.
Yeah, most of these are.
So to see her in one instance, totally dolled up as the porn star, all done and looking ridiculous,
right.
And then to see her about a year later at Victoria's Secret before Christmas, wearing Uggs and like a furry vest and a little hat and a thing, and just like, wow, this is her downtime. This is her just shopping.
Yeah.
And then what she does in the meantime, that's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
You know? And also, like I think I told you one time, I saw Christy Canyon at the supermarket.
Uh-huh.
Christy Canyon was
my
first.
I wonder what she looks like now. Is she old now?
Amazing. She's 40, 41 tops.
No, it can't be.
I found out from doing research that she was basically the same age I was when I first saw her. She was about 18 when I first saw my porn. She was in the first porn that I ever saw.
Really?
So Christy Canyon's like a hero. She's like my Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
of porn. And she's my Joe DiMaggio.
She was
and
big in the 70s and 80s.
80s. And,
right.
And she's Italian and Armenian.
Really?
And I'm still, by the way.
She's got huge natural boobs.
Massive.
Very famous boobs.
Very awesome. Awesome. Yeah. In as far as I'm concerned, the best of all time. Her and Barbie Benton, the two best of all time ever, all time. She went to North Hollywood High.
Really?
Right there. Uh-huh. North Hollywood High.
Yeah.
She's Italian and Armenian. Which accounts for that really gorgeous look that she has. She's really very pretty too. You get distracted by the cans.
Yeah.
She had a pretty face as well. But there she was. And now though, she just looks like, I hate to use a cliche term, but everybody uses it. Now she just looks like this fantastic cougar. Although a cougar not in the sense that she's trying hard. She was just there at Ralph's wearing like jeans and like a white t-shirt, like a really nice, like expensive white t-shirt.
Right.
And nice jeans and whatever. And that she was just like chilling.
Yeah.
And she looked awesome.
Yeah.
And
well, maybe,
suburban.
Yeah. I think you meant not cougar, but
cougar
but a MILF, maybe.
Well, a MILF, yeah, MILF, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Cougar
is necessarily with someone who's younger than her, much younger,
and
you don't know that.
So this was, she was definitely, she's definitely MILFy.
A MILFy.
Well, because she's gorgeous, but very suburban now. She lives like here in the area.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, how did you know it's her? Does she still look?
She looks
really?
Just like, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it took like a double take. You know, it's not like I saw you, oh, Sam. I mean, you know, I looked and and yeah, it was her.
Yeah.
So, you know, for sure.
Well, yeah, we're surrounded by stars here and porn stars and everything.
Yeah.
And I've asked this before, though. Why do we refer them as porn stars? I mean, most of them are not fucking stars. Nobody knows about them, you know?
Yeah.
So
well,
it's a porn actress. It's not even a fucking actress. They just fuck,
I think it's just become a term.
I mean, do you really think they audition you for acting when you go for porn?
No.
So it's not an actress either.
No. But I mean, I think porn star just has just become the nomenclature.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's just become the name. That's what it is. You're a porn star if you're in porn. Yeah. And you know what? You know, I figure if that's what you're doing for a living, you deserve to be called a star.
You know? I don't know about that.
No, yeah. I mean, if that's your job, you know, I mean, I think you.
Now, what would you do, TJ? You woke up one day.
Yeah.
Your daughter's over 18, and you find out she's in porn.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about that, DJ?
Well, that's definitely a bridge I hope is way, way in the future to have to cross.
Yeah, let's hope not, man.
But you know what? Honestly, as I sit here now, just gun to my head, knee-jerk reaction to what you're saying, I would, as I sit here now with no time to think about it, I would say, all right, well, I can't keep you from doing it. I don't know. I would have to definitely say... see, one of my first instincts is first of all, you got to make sure that it's hard to really conceptualize it, because first thing I'm going to say, you can't get any diseases, like that, but that means that I'm willing to acknowledge her doing that.
Yeah,
you know, I'd probably ask her to just wait a second, and let's actually talk about this. Mm-hmm. Have you done it yet? No, and then because,
no. Let's say you already found out that she is.
Oh, she already did it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Well, then okay. In that respect, then if she's already done it, well, then first of all, what I would have to do is summon up all of my strength and will, and know that that I can't change that she's already done it.
Mm,
that I can't unring that bell.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what I would ask her to do is, because I'm so cool and I know people in the business and I know people in the industry, I would make rash of phone calls and ask her to please just hang out for a second.
Yeah.
And I would try to get people there on the phone, or get people there, have her sit down with some people who had been in the industry for a while and eventually got out for the reasons that I'd want her to get out. And,
I have a problem with parents that say, you know, I mean, I don't know. That's my opinion. But parents that say, I'll support you in anything that you do. Yeah. I mean, would you say that to her?
No. I mean, now, again, it's tough to wrap your brain around it. But, I mean, again, if she had already done it, that's one thing. And it's, you know, but, you know, blood is blood. And, you know, what is it? I mean, now am I going to actively go and promote her website and say, you know, hey, my daughter's twat? No, I'm not going to. No, but... will I support her and love her unconditionally? Yeah. I think you can't just turn your back on somebody because of a judgment they made, you know, within the law.
But that's what I mean, you focusing on what you would say. I'm asking, how would you feel?
Oh, how would I feel? I'd be devastated. Yeah. I'd be mortified. I'd be wondering, where did I go wrong? All those things. Sure. Every cliche. How about you?
It's gotta be so shameful.
Well, I mean, but now, but that's a more, I think that's a more, a more,
More relevant to me now.
More relevant to you, because you're. I have, and by the way, your daughter is she the brunette I saw on? Is she a friend of Sean? Is she a friend of your son on Facebook?
I don't know what pictures he has on there, so I don't know.
I think I saw your daughter. I want to ask you her name. She's not on Facebook. Okay, there's another with your name that's a beautiful girl.
Oh, maybe that's my daughter. I didn't know. She's beautiful.
Beautiful girl. Yeah. Stunning.
She is beautiful.
I mean, my gosh, she's a beautiful girl.
Yeah. I don't know if we're talking about the same one. But
okay, maybe not. But I'm saying, okay, now, it's much more for you. So how about you? Your daughter's 18.
Yeah. Well, I would be fucking devastated. I don't know what I would fucking do. I might even disown her.
Yeah. See, now you're a very now.
I don't know. You know. I mean, it's really tough. You know. Yeah. But sometimes I wonder. You know, because let me tell you something. Yes, it's your daughter and everything. But you know, they change. They become their own people.
Yeah.
And you may not like who they are.
That's interesting.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you still love
just
them.
Just like
and
you don't like somebody you meet on the train.
Yeah.
I mean, this you know, may be somebody that you just don't
because
get
along family.
With.
You don't get to choose. You know, it's pretty much, you know. I don't know, given to you.
Right,
okay?
Yeah.
And so what do you do? I mean, you know, what do you do? But I don't think I would deal with it very well.
Have you, now, at what point did you, or is it you or your ex-wife who would have the birds and bees conversation with her?
Probably the ex-wife. Yes,
right,
the
mother, so yes. Obviously that already happened. She's 18.
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah.
happened a long time ago. Yeah. Does she date? Does she have boyfriends?
No, not really.
All right. So you're happy about that, I'm sure.
Well, no, not really. I mean, I don't know. What do I care? You know?
What?
Like maybe she is, but she's not telling, you know?
Ah,
I don't
okay.
know.
Yeah. All right.
I think she's still sexually confused. I don't know. Yeah.
Really?
But yeah, but she, I think she's taking her time. Uh-huh, that, you know, uh-huh. I don't think everybody's ready at the same yeah. time.
Now, your
you know?
Son, on the other hand.
He's ready.
Jesus
he's
Christ.
He's ready.
This kid 15, is ready to plow the field.
He is fucking ready.
Plow the field, plant the seed, yeah. harvest it, come back next day, do the same thing all over. Yeah. That freaking kid is one. He's a horn dog.
Yeah, I mean, I was the same way when I was
yeah,
15.
I was a mess.
And it's so
Ugh.
Fucking frustrating, Ugh. You know? I mean, you want to fuck so bad, but you can't because yeah. nobody else is going to fuck you,
right?
you know?
Right.
Not the older women, of course. And,
right.
and girls your age are looking for slightly older,
older guys.
Guys,
or in my case,
Boys.
Better looking and taller guys. Thank God I was funny. But still, you know, even that, I was so bad at closing a deal, so bad at closing a deal.
Really?
And it's funny because all these, a lot of these memories are coming back because I'm bumping into people on Facebook from right back in that period. Uh-huh. Even a couple of girls that I've bumped into on Facebook that, you know, one or two girls that I really liked a lot. Mm. And it's actually been great because I know I look so much better now than they do.
Yeah.
and in case Mikey's listening, there's a girl. Her nickname is Mikey. Mikey, in case you're listening, that's not you. There's one girl actually I just bumped into yesterday. I literally, she looks exactly like the day that the last time I saw her. This was never a girlfriend or anything. She was just a great female yeah. friend. And but my God, she hasn't aged a fucking day. It's
really?
Creepy. It's like
wow.
weird. It's like she's been living in like a cocoon or something. It's odd. Mikey has not changed. But there was these other couple of girls that I had real crushes on, and I tried to date. One girl I tried to date, a Jewish girl. Really, let me tell you that. Jewish girls,
uh-huh.
some of the hottest girls.
Growing
up in white, others. Growing up in Westchester, I knew either Catholics or Jews.
Uh-huh.
That's what I know. I knew Catholic kids or Jewish kids. A couple uh-huh. of down the middle, but anyway, a couple of these girls were just, you know, these jappy with the big hair. Big cans, they had big boobs, real yeah. sexy, real confident. You know what it was? Is they were real confident. You know, they yeah. had a certain Jewish bravado, a certain entitlement, a certain aloofment because they knew they were hot. They were loaded. I grew up in a very wealthy area.
Yeah.
These were the first. They were like out of a John Hughes movie from the 80s. You know, these girls that drove their, you know, their daddy's car to school,
yeah,
and
yeah.
they were cheerleaders, and they were really good looking, and. And there was one girl in particular that a couple of them, and one girl that I just thought I kind of got on a date, and she never took me seriously, the date and whatever. And I saw her on Facebook mm-hmm. About 2-3 months ago, and she looks like death warmed over.
Really?
I was like, holy shit, this girl looks hell.
Really?
And I looked at my picture, and I was like, oh, I look awesome. Yeah. Oh, wonderful.
Some people don't age very well.
No, damn it.
Yeah,
and
they really don't.
No, and when they screw you over, you're happy about it.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, look at you and me. We're not bald, you know.
No, I got all my hair.
You know,
yeah,
there you go, you know.
Totally.
And
I don't have any. You have very few lines. I have even less.
Yeah, I'm starting to see a lot more. You're right. You have a very smooth face.
I have, yeah. I got my mother's baby face.
Really?
My mother got a baby face. Baby face. I got it. And, also, for the past 10 years, I have stayed out of the sun. I got a couple of bad sunburns when I was a kid, and then for a little while when I first worked on cruise ships, I laid out a lot, and then I got a real bad sunburn one time on a ship in like 1997, and that's it. For like the last 12 years, I just don't lay out in the sun. I stay away from the damn sun.
Yeah.
I think that combined with my mother, it's all about the genes, really.
Yeah, it
but
is.
But that and
it is.
And I moisturize.
Yeah.
I moisturize, and I use a special eye cream. I use glycolic eye cream. See here. As we turn into complete homosexual.
There's a ring of gay behavior there.
Very, yes. There's a definite ring of gay behavior right here.
Yeah,
but you know what? This gay behavior is going to keep me nice and wrinkle-free.
There you go.
And no dark
looking.
Circles. And gay looking. Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't mind that penis in my face.
Nah.
Is it the lotion or is the penis in his hand? But yeah, so anyway, it is fun though to bump into some of these people. Oh wait, we got away. That's right. We were. You definitely got us away from talking about you and your daughter. So do you think you would fly into a rage if you found out? I mean, would you get angry?
It's not a rage. I think I would be extremely depressed though.
Uh huh.
Really,
yeah.
you know.
Would you blame your ex-wife?
No, I don't know if I'd blame anybody, really. But maybe on the fact that we're divorced, you know.
Right.
I don't know. I think it affects some kids, you know. But
you have a great relationship with your boy.
Yes, yes.
You guys get along.
And with my daughter, too. It's just I don't see her often.
Right. But you see your son a lot more.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
cool. So anyway. He's a good kid.
He's learning to drive now, and he just blows me away how well he drives. You know,
really?
Yeah, it's really cool.
Nah, he's Israeli. He's Israeli. Israeli guys, you guys can do everything.
He's not Israeli, man.
Well, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, he's of Israeli descent.
Yeah, but he was. Yeah, but he wasn't raised as such. But
no.
Yeah. Well, what the fuck? Anyway. Yeah, so, I mean, there's so much to fucking talk about.
Yeah.
What about that plane that crashed yesterday? What do you think of that,
How
man?
How about that?
I mean, that pilot is like a fucking hero now.
He is. Well, it's amazing to think about what happened. I'm a million miler with American Airlines. I was one of those people that flew for a living. Like, I flew about 20,000 miles a month on a slow month. It may be more, actually, for stretches.
That's quite a bit.
I flew and flew and flew and flew. And one thing that I never bought, was that when I looked at that one little diagram on that little packet they give you, was the floating plane. I never bought it. I said, you know what? I said, I don't think that it necessarily would explode on impact, but my thought was these fucking thing's gonna sink like a fucking stone. Uh-huh. Don't show me a picture of a floating airplane and the little inner tubes just, you know, gliding away from it, the little lifeboats, you know, a lot of fuck that.
Yeah.
And I could not believe when Andy called me in from the office. She goes, TJ, oh my God, look at this. It's a plane in the Hudson River. Couple of things. A, the fact that it floated. B, he missed a bridge by 900 feet.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, which is, you know, in terms of a plane moving, you know, I mean, 900 feet is it's nothing.
Yeah.
The fact that, forget the bridge, the fact that this guy, I mean, if you look at New York City and you look at the harbor and you look at the Hudson River and you just see all that, I mean, the fact that he was able to maneuver because he had no engines. One engine went and then the other one went. He glided
baby.
Yeah. He was able to hydraulics, all the backup systems worked. That one of the, I was listening to one of the passengers who was saying, who was a private pilot. He noticed that the guy maintained his composure. He had 3 minutes, and it was 3 minutes from takeoff.
Really,
he was getting the flaps out. The flaps are coming out, which is what they use to slow the plane down and get it down to land.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to get it at the proper. I mean, evidently, you know, you got to think about it. If the angle of one of the wings was just enough to catch the water, then boom. Goes one way.
Yeah.
If the nose was just slightly under, it would have gone completely down like a submarine.
Yeah.
This was the only way to do it. And he did not, he was not off by a millimeter. He literally skipped the plane on the surface.
Yeah.
And
that's why you want very experienced pilots, you know? I mean,
I used to fly every week. Every week I would fly from Nassau, from Freeport in the Bahamas back to Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm.
And we were living in Boca Raton. And because I would take a ship to the Bahamas and then I would fly home from the Bahamas. So it was just a one-way trip.
Right.
So this little plane, it was these little, I mean, tiny,
yeah.
practically a private plane.
Yeah.
There were about four, there were six seats.
Really?
You would have to step over the seats to go back. And this was Continental Airlines. This was a small commuter, tiny little thing, a little pond hopper thing, you know, a puddle jumper. And it was, they had fold down, the seat would fold down, you would climb over the back and get into these little tiny, I would call them a mosquito is what I called
them.
And it was, it got to the point where I took the same flight every Tuesday like clockwork. And so I eventually got to know the crew and the pilots and stuff over time. And they would give you sometimes they give me headsets. You could actually plug in and listen to the cockpit and the air traffic control. I mean, because it was just this non-airplane.
Yeah,
I mean, they didn't even go through all the FAA regulations of telling you shit. They just took off. You know, it was like boom, we're off. You know, it was like he'd look back and go, you buckle, okay, good, and then like that.
That's fucking scary shit, man.
Oh, it was ridiculous. But I tell you, here's the thing. What I found out was one time I'm listening to the cockpit and the guy says, all right, so you want to try? Mm-hmm. We were about to land. Yeah. We're about to land in Fort Lauderdale. And he says, you know what? I'm just – I got to check this because this is – Andrea knows I'm on the radio, but she's calling me.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to make sure she's okay.
All right. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back right after this.
Here's Ricardo Montalban and the Chrysler New Yorker.
This luxurious automobile has always delivered the performance you'd expect from a New Yorker. And now Chrysler introduces an onboard microprocessor which even speaks to you just like a New Yorker.
Hey, moron, you want to put on your f***ing seatbelt or would you rather eat the steering wheel, huh?
Ah, yes, this is truly a New Yorker.
Hey, genius, you left the goddamn headlights on. Jeez, you're one dumb asshole, you know that.
And for the most dangerous city in the world, a security system second to none.
Hey, bagel brains, you want to lock the f***ing doors? Or maybe we should put a f***ing sign in the f***ing window that says, rip me off.
Yes, the Chrysler New Yorker. If you can find a better luxury car, buy it.
Buy this, dipshit. I got your luxury right here.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You are listening to LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
Thank you. Previously on Sam and Susie in the Morning.
There's something very sensuous when a woman starts talking dirty, you know? You're not expected to in society,
it's
you know?
It's taboo.
Yeah, kind of. Give us another one. Let's hear another one. A really nasty one.
I'm not asking for love. No long language afternoons of touching and caressing. I'm asking to fuck. To take the whole of you into my ride. To tear your cock from your body with my cunt. To bathe in your cum and lick myself clean. I'm not after love. I'm asking to fuck. No soft, lovely words and feelings shared. It's better to be your whore than your lover. I want to throw you, rip away your clothes, surprise you with indecency, shove my tits in your face and beg for you to suck them. Sailors have manners compared to me. I'm not asking for love. I'm asking to fuck and be fucked.
Wow. I love it.
That was good. I'm actually turned on. You're definitely a cunning linguist, you know that?
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, Sam, get down.
Was that you?
What's that?
Is that you just now?
Yeah.
Yes, and get down. What the hell was that?
I don't know. I just felt like saying that.
That's the morning DJ side of Sammy.
Yes, I love music.
Get down.
Can you imagine putting on a radio voice? Not me, though.
Yeah. Hey.
Anyway.
Yes, and
listen,
get down.
I'm extremely extremely irritated with a lot of anti-Israel sentiments going on lately in this country, which is very unusual. Have you noticed that?
Nope, it's not unusual.
No?
Mm-mm.
Because usually Americans tend to support Israel, but I don't know, this time around, man, people are spewing hatred.
Anti-Semitism is the hip new thing, brother.
You take think a look, it's back,
I'm
huh?
I'm telling you, people, you know what, people who don't like that, okay, keep voting Democrat. Keep voting Democrat because, you know, that is where the anti-Semitism lives right now.
Really? Is that what you believe?
Anti-Zionist, anti-Israel, absolutely. In other words, no, not all Democrats. And, you know, we actually had a quick conversation about this before. No, obviously, they're not all. And yes, Barack will be a friend, of course, to Israel when it comes to, you know, national policy. America will always be an ally.
Right.
But I think in Barack's case, it's going to be kicking and screaming.
Mm.
I think he's going to have to hold his nose and be a friend to Israel, because I really believe that Barack Obama is wired in that kind of, that's one of the extreme sides of him.
So you don't think that he's really going to be?
No, I think he has to be. I think he's going
no,
to
be. No, he is, but you don't think in his heart?
No.
Really?
No, I think he's one of those. I think he's one of those, and I know a lot of people. Like, there's a couple of people on Facebook that I know that, you know, one of them, you know, that are constantly, you know, they were, they, you know, 900 Palestinians, blah, 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 have been killed and and stop Israeli aggression and all, you know, that is where Obama lives when it comes to that. He is that kind of liberal, I believe. And you know, it's amazing. Anti-Semitism is hip and trendy, and people are getting away with it left and right.
Yeah. You know, and what I say? Remember back in the 70s, they used to say nobody got fired for buying IBM.
Uh-huh.
Now I can say nobody's will get fired for talking about the Jews, for hating the Jews.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay.
It's okay
for people.
Because of the Palestinian thing.
Not only that, but it's because nobody, like I said, nobody's going to not like you because you talk about, well, you know, you bad know, about the Jews.
Well,
because
here,
it's, like you said, it's hip. It always has been.
Yeah.
I think anti-Semitism is in the DNA of humanity.
You know, okay, sure.
You know, I don't know if it's a learned thing. I think people are born with it.
Well, I think, first of all, I am really very, very straightforward in terms of I have a hard time bullshitting. I have a hard time bullshitting myself. I have a hard time bullshitting, and I have a real hard time being bullshitted.
Right.
I think you have to acknowledge some things. Like, I think one of the first things that one of the best ways to acknowledge, to get past racism and misunderstanding each other is to acknowledge absolutely that we are, in fact, different on some levels. Black people tend to be a bit louder. Black people tend to, you know, whatever. White people tend to be a bit more stoic.
Right.
White people tend to be a bit more straight-laced.
People are different. I mean, and these are cultures,
and here's the thing,
you know?
Right, and here's my point. When it comes to Jews and America and the world and all, I think, look, it is not some, it's amazing how some people get strung up, get in trouble for saying things that are absolutely the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in fact, Jewish people are, and gays, are at the helm of nearly every facet of Hollywood.
Mm.
It just, goddamn truth.
Yeah.
That's not based on me and my feelings about Jews. It's because if you went to Century City right now, or if you went to most any of the networks, you would see all of the officers of the companies are Jews. Most of the writers are Jewish people.
Right, but why would you be surprised?
And that's okay.
I mean, Hollywood was started by Jews.
It was founded by Jews. Exactly. Right. And so my thing is, my problem is with A, the people who, especially the non-Jews, mm-hmm. okay, it's stupid for Jewish people to go, well, that's just not true. You're making a general statement.
No,
shut
because
the fuck
it is
up,
true.
Goldstein. Yeah. You shut up. Okay, and it's also stupid for those self-hating politically correct people mm-hmm. who, as soon as you say something, to go, you know, some Presbyterian idiot, some liberal, you know, some liberal Methodist mm-hmm. who wants to say, no, Jews don't run Hollywood. We don't say that. No, it's okay. And it's also in the terminology. When you say Jews run Hollywood, well, that connotes a certain deviancy when they say they run it or rule Hollywood.
Abuse of power, maybe, you know,
but
shit
when you
like
say,
that.
But if you say that, you know, basically, Jewish, it seems to be the Jewish people happen to be really, you know, no, they run Hollywood. Actually, I'll say it. What the hell? Yeah. Jewish people and gay people. And listen, I've been in the offices of the, I've been in the headquarters. I've been in the vice president's offices of every network in this town.
Right.
And they're either gay or Jewish or both. Mm. I mean, you don't have many, you know, Shaughnessys and O'Flahertys or Rincones or Jacksons running the networks or the news departments or the agencies mm-hmm. or the law offices, entertainment lawyers. It's, I mean, you know, sure, you have your WASPs here and there, and they pop up a Catholic here and there. But anyway, the point is that these are just facts. Mm-hmm. And so those facts have to be embraced, and different things about, you know, there are certain things that people will politically correctly ignore or throw away. And like, I mean, you know, Jews did not found the banking system. A lot of people attribute that to, if anything, to the Knights Templar, actually. Mm-hmm. But you know, between the Rothschilds and the Bilderbergers and, you know, and all these other old, and now we're getting into the conspiracy theories of the Rothschilds and the Bilderbergers.
Yeah, but we're going a little bit on a tangent
because this is all about that ingrained anti-Semitism, they feel that. So anyway, I think you have to acknowledge some of these stereotypes. I think it's up to Jews to say, yeah, you know what? We're in positions of control. We do, in fact, have a big stake in a bunch of different industries.
Yeah.
And you know what? There you go. So be it. We're hardworking people, and we had a vision. We envisioned Hollywood, and we made it what it is. And it just so happens that that's just what we're drawn to. Yeah. And so be it.
For Jews, it's very important to have achievement
Absolutely.
In your life, you know, and people don't like that, you know, because I mean, it gets you places, and people get jealous, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But you know, it's I don't know. But let's go back to the specific case of Israel right now. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
makes me so mad.
So the UN compound was bombed.
Yep.
And by Israelis, mm-hmm. and nobody's is really sure yet what happened there.
Right.
But Israelis, the government has apologized already,
uh-huh.
and people just want to hold on and grasp to this shit here, mm-hmm. that is really just a side effect of war. Okay, it's a part of war when people are caught in the middle in the fire, in the crossfire, and. And to compare this with the Palestinians, with Hamas, who explicitly says, we're going to extinguish Israel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to destroy Israel. Yeah. And we
One pizza parlor at a time.
Yes, exactly. And one child and woman
animals.
At a time.
They're freaking animals is what they are. Because to tell you what, you know what? I just call it like I see it. This is really what I say right now. This is really where my feeling is on this and my brain. Intellectually, mm-hmm. I sit here right now, Sam, at whatever it is, 1:00 in the morning on a Friday. I believe that Islam is not a religion of peace. I believe that Islam is, in fact, a religion.
You don't have to believe it. It's a fact.
That's what I'm saying. That's where I am. Islam. What is
all the flashpoints in the world? There's Islam somewhere.
The way that Islam, people talk about those 19 hijackers, they talk about Bin Laden, that they're hijacking a peaceful religion. I say bullshit. I think that it's the rest of the Muslims who are lazy Muslims that don't have the nerve, nor the courage, nor the time, nor the inclination to go and kill people. It's these guys that hijack, that go and run Hamas and all these things. It's the Ahmadinejads and the Bin Ladens of the world who practice Islam the way it is supposed to be practiced. They are fundamentalists. They are constructionists. They are original Quran guys. Mm-hmm. And I believe that it's, they're not the ones who hijack. They're the ones who do Islam the way it's meant to be, mm-hmm. the way that murderous thug Muhammad meant it to be. And it's the rest of the billion or so Muslims around the world who are just too goddamn lazy and stupid and uneducated to do anything.
Yeah.
That's really how I feel.
And if you doubt that Islam is so connected with violence, look at some of the flags of the Arab countries.
Yeah.
They have swords on them, right?
Those sabers.
Swords.
Those scabbers,
I mean, what the fuck, you know? It's like war and violence.
Look, Israel makes a phone call. They'll call a Hamas leader and they'll say, hello, this is the Mossad and you're the Israeli Air Force and your building will be bombed in 14 minutes. You might want to get out.
Right.
And they have the option to run away.
Right.
You know, meanwhile, a bunch of Jews go to a bat mitzvah and bam, the ballroom is blown up and there's a bunch of friggin' towel heads dancing
stops.
In the goddamn street.
They look for where there's a lot of people concentrated.
They're a bunch
of animals. For full impact.
They're a bunch of savage animals.
Yeah.
They're a bunch of savage pigs.
You know, and for people to say that they were elected is a farce.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these people killed their own.
Yeah.
There's no way that there was like free choice during the elections there.
Right.
You know, and all this hatred that it's all about, you know, people say it's about land. It's not about fucking land. It's about hatred.
It's about wanting to kill the Jews.
Yes, exactly. They will not stop. And they don't hide that.
No,
they don't
hide
that.
And we can thank.
So Israel has to fight for survival.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And
whoever gets caught in the crossfire hurts.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, I mean, you got to solve this problem one way or another. And these people only understand violence. They don't understand any other language.
Yeah.
You can't make peace with someone who does not want peace.
Right. And, you know, and listen, again, hey, you know, Obama, he's willing to sit down with these people. I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm just saying. You know, it's like, you know, it's interesting how people, people, they don't, they look at the big picture. Sometimes they don't look at their own issues or they look at their own issues and don't look at the big picture.
He can sit with them, however much he wants. There's nothing going to happen.
No,
he's not going to change their mind.
I know they wouldn't, but that's what I'm saying.
They've been given their own state twice, and they didn't want
it. They were offered more than what they asked for and they walked away.
Yes.
And, you know, and
because they want everything and they want the Jews dead.
Exactly. And you know, if you found out that the Obama administration was sitting down with Hamas, wouldn't that just infuriate you? I mean, just to give them legitimacy.
Well, I don't know how it's going to be played out, but we'll see. You know, we'll have to see how he handles that.
But I think you can also...
If he does it with alienating Israel, yes, he's got a problem there. But I don't think that's going
to
happen.
I think also, you know, but to speak to this anti-Semitism and stuff, you know, and again, against Israel, and I think, you know, a lot of that, you know, you have to blame the mainstream, the regular media. Because, again, you know, I was not... And I'm kind of a news junkie here, you know, but... I have to admit that I was not really completely clued in or tuned into what was going on until I heard that Israel was going after Hamas. I didn't even realize this time around that Hamas had been launching rockets because the media didn't cover it.
It's become
CBS,
such a fucking
ABC.
Norm. You know,
exactly.
It's every day. It's not news
ABC,
anymore.
No, not only that, Sam, but because they bury it. ABC, NBC, CBS, liberal, communist, anti-Israel, okay, type people. And I'm talking self-hating Jews.
Really?
Self-hating Jews like Jeff Zucker, who runs NBC, okay? Mm-hmm. These people who run the news divisions, all right? They're the ones who think that Hamas and the Palestinians are a bunch of freedom-fighting, you know, 1776 revolutionaries, okay? One man's terrorist, another man's revolutionary. You know, go F yourself, NBC, MSNBC, CBS, okay? Because, again, I'm a guy who's aware of things. I didn't even really quite know that Hamas had been doing rockets. I didn't know that. All I knew is that suddenly there was an offensive from the Israeli army because that's what started. All of a sudden they cover that. Yeah. They don't cover rockets going into, you know, little Israeli villages.
Of course not. And all the people that go into shock and shit, you know.
I mean,
can you imagine living like that?
It's the media. It's the media.
And that's what I'm saying. It's not only that. It's the suicide bombers, you know.
Yep.
I encourage everybody to Google Palestinian terror. Okay, and find out. You'll see some of these pictures out there. I posted some on Facebook or a link to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, how can you possibly possibly criticize people that have to go through so much fucking pain and mourning and all this shit? I mean, that's all that happens in Israel is people mourning all the time.
You know?
Hey. And that's not a fucking way to live. But the bottom line is this. All I'm saying is this. If America, if this shit happens on our soil here, we would not sit back and not do anything.
Totally.
You know? And we haven't. I mean, we've seen that.
You make a good point, too. You know, okay, so it's what's called Palestinian
terror.
PalestinianTerror.com. Yeah.
No, not .com. Just Google.
Oh, Google Palestinian terror. I'm sorry. Okay, I thought it was okay.
And you'll find a lot of different sites.
Well, you know, also, the other thing is to, you know, and kind of keep it on the same level, but you know, talk about recommended. Something that always slips my mind for some reason, maybe it's my mind protecting me, because of what I'm going to talk about here. But, you know, did you ever see the Nick Berg or the Daniel Pearl video of their decapitation?
No, I made sure I didn't. I could not.
I tell you what. You know what, man? I think if more people had seen that, I think if more people had seen those videos, and I regret having seen it because I didn't need.
Yeah.
But I don't regret it because you know what? It's like I know. Throughout the debate about this war and about terrorism and stuff, you know, I have been convinced that this war in Iraq was the right thing to do. And I would be really, really – I'd be hard-pressed to imagine anybody seeing one of those videos and not having their opinion tweaked just a little bit in terms of what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
And what's the Palestinians, Al-Qaeda, they're all the same. They're all a bunch of Allah loving, you know, Muhammad following animal terrorists.
But I don't think it would affect anybody watching these movies. And let me tell you why. There's people today that are haters of Israel despite the Holocaust. Okay? Yeah. I mean, it couldn't have gotten any worse than that.
No.
Right? Mm. And people are still okay. So why do you think watching that video is going to change their mind?
Yeah.
You know? That's why I'm saying it's in the fucking DNA. People don't know. If you ask someone, why do you not like Jews? They don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So hopefully our guest will be here in a few minutes. So we'll take a break in just a second. What I did want to ask you about is... What did I want to ask you about? I can't fucking remember.
Jews, really Israel, remember. Tits.
Well, they go together.
The
huh?
airplane went down. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it burns their ass, those Arabs, to see Israel being so, you know, well, I wouldn't say wealthy, but successful in being in the 21st century.
Yeah.
A very modern country.
They've got telephones.
Very modern country.
Yeah.
A lot of intellectual people there and everything. They can't stand it.
Right.
Because they're still in the fucking Stone Age. All these Arab countries, you know? Yeah. I mean, even you go to those rich places like Dubai and something.
Right.
They still wear fucking robes.
They're still walking around wearing fucking sheets and robes and they, and, you know, and you can't shake hands and all this other stupid shit.
Yeah, and you can't look at the women and blah, blah, blah. You know? So, you know, this is Stone Age bullshit.
The world is full of apologists.
Yeah.
And I'm sick of that. And therein lies also the difference between the September 11th world and the September 12th world. Or September 10th and September 12th.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's a September 12th world. I don't want to hear from any more apologists for these animals. Mm-hmm. They are animals. I don't want to hear any more about cultures where, you know, some kind of staged stuff. They're stoning people. They're stoning people in soccer stadiums for, you know, women are stoned for being raped.
Yeah.
These are the people we're apologizing for. And these are also cultures that make up, maybe not a majority, but a good number of the United Nations. Members of the United Nations. We're actually giving these people the time of day.
And these are the people that control the oil in the world as well.
And that's it.
Not very smart people.
That's it. Yeah. That's it, you know? And I think, you know, it's listen, I honestly... A lot of my views, I mean, you know, especially this early in the morning, tend to, you know, skew really to the right. But you know, but really, honestly, I am disgusted with many parts of the world, and I'm really disgusted with the media for enabling these apologists.
Yeah,
I really am. It's the media, man. Yeah. It's the Tom Brokaw's, and people just don't just don't get it.
I guess so. You know, I mean, I don't watch that much TV, so
I don't
see that. You know, But I always tended to think that the media is pretty fair.
You see,
but
here's what you have to remember.
They always take sides, huh?
They take sides. They take the left side. I'll tell you, because, man, you got to figure this. You know, you surround.
Why do they take the left
because
side?
Because it's where they're from. The Upper West Side of Manhattan. Mm. The Upper East Side. The, you know, different parts of Washington, D.C. The Illuminati. The, you know, they come from Harvard and Yale. They come from these bastions of left-leaning, anti-Zionist, anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian, pro. That's where they come from. And these are who they have cocktail parties with. These are who they, these are the people who they have to feel they're keeping up with. These are the Joneses that they keep up with, keeping up with the Joneses.
Right, right.
So when you think about the circles that they live and work and play in, mm-hmm. then when they go to pick up their kids from school and they're standing there waiting for the kids to come out the door, they're talking about, oh, this fucking Israeli, can you believe the violence? Yeah. That's what they do. And they go, and so, you know, again, it's there are some brilliant books out there. You know what? I'm going to get you a gift. I'm going to get you a gift because I know you do like to read. I know mm-hmm. I know you have like about 5 minutes a day.
Exactly.
But it's a book by Bernie Goldberg, mm-hmm. and it's about bias in the media. He used to work for 60 Minutes. He was fired.
Ah, really?
He used to work for CBS, and now he's a very independent guy. This book will blow the friggin' yarmulke right off your head. This guy is it's amazing. Talks about media bias and. I mean, straight up examples that are not fluff. I mean, you just take quotes. He just takes quotes, not out of context, too.
Yeah.
Big chunks of quotes from different interviews and different commentary. For example, just put it this way, ready? Just watch any coverage of Congress, not on C-SPAN where there's no commentary, but any coverage of Congress where there's let's say the State of the Union.
Right.
Next time you watch a State of the Union address, okay? Mm-hmm. Barack Obama's first one, whenever that is. Watch, and you will see. You will hear this. You will hear, for example, there is. We see the Supreme Court, the very conservative Samuel Alito, and there is the senator from Massachusetts. Let's say Democrat from Massachusetts. Okay, we'll say there's John Kerry, and such and so. And there is the. Very conservative Republican from Alabama.
Okay, we get the idea.
In other words, what is the idea? The idea is that Tom Brokaw or one of those people will just by habit they will describe if a Republican is a conservative Republican, they'll point that out. Right. But they will not point out the very liberal, left leaning, practically communist Democrat from Michigan.
Yeah.
They won't do that. That's just a little simple, easy example.
Right.
It's like a little. That's like a baby aspirin to get yourself going and to get people understanding. That's an easy little chewable aspirin to understand how the media. Operates and how they do it. It's a little. That's just a little snippet.
Okay.
You know.
Well, that's the politics for today.
Okay.
Yes.
Maybe so, Rebecca would like to talk about.
I don't think so.
No problem.
But we're going to be back with our guests if they're here, and we'll be back right after this.
Hello, this is Borat Sagdiev. When I am traveling around the world and have internet connections, I like to gently cup my balls and listen to LA Talk Radio. It's very nice.
He tried to tell her, and she thought it right. Hand in hand, they marched on through the night. He knew the answers she'd hoped to find. It'll just take a little time. Just a little bit of time. It wasn't easy, but how could they fail? Though love can blind you just like a veil. He knew the price was worth the strain. There was so very much to gain. So much love was there to gain. And they flew so high that they lifted off the ground. They locked themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. Shadows, well, they sight, and the gap became too wide. You cannot bridge a gap so wide. Though they flew so high, they lifted off the ground. They locked themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. Oh, in the end there's nobody to blame. There's never anyone to blame.
Where's the porn star, TJ?
I don't know. You know what? I don't know. And, you know, hey, what is it? Okay, they were due here at what time?
10 minutes ago.
They were due here 10 minutes ago. Well, that's still, we're early for a porn star then.
Are we?
We're early for them.
I see. Okay.
You know, but then again, you know what? It gets to a point where it's not cute and it's not, ooh, they're a porn star. You know, it's like you're late. And it's like that's why you see there was a stretch there where I was almost going to get into representing porn stars. I was almost going to open an agency.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and
you would have been very rich by now, I'm sure.
I probably, you know, I could have made a bunch of money. I just didn't like. Ultimately, it did feel like I was pimping, and I'm not. You know, I'm not a pimp.
Yeah.
Anyway, the thing, I'm much more of a whore.
Yeah.
But
you do look like one.
Well, thank you. Yeah. But the thing is the velvet, my velvet jacket. The thing is, though.
The Cadillac.
And the Cadillac. You motherfucker. Ah, you funny fucking fuck. You funny fucking Jew. That's so funny. I'm the Cadillac. That's really funny. That is really goddamn good. And by the way, you know I really think it's funny because I'm not laughing. I'm saying that's funny.
I see.
That's how that's when you know a comedian thinks something is really fucking really? Funny when I say, oh, that's good.
Wonderful.
That was really
well, I mean,
funny.
To get a good laugh from and you is a compliment.
And the Cadillac. That was good. That was great timing. That was very funny. The thing is that one of the reasons I didn't do it, and one of the things I know about the industry is that when you're in the business and dealing with the girls, it is glorified babysitting.
Is it really?
These are girls that make
they
now,
demand
now,
a lot, huh?
And I'm sure, listen, I'm sure Rebecca is from she's from another country. Who knows? She's here. I mean, she's got a career going on. Mm-hmm. There, are, you know, Tara Patrick is. Not, but those girls that you were talking about that are not the stars. Those right. workaday girls, you know, sucking and blowing and blowing and fucking and blah, 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 whatever. They show up. That like the girl I bumped into at the store, right?
Yeah.
Those girls are a mess. As a rule, generally speaking, throughout the industry, those workaday, those rank and file auto workers, those girls, they'll make 10 grand a week.
Yeah.
They get a week where they pull down 15, 20 grand. If
so,
they really
So
really
you work. Don't think they feel they have to respect other people
well, no.
and shit like
oh, no,
that?
No. My point is this. No. Mm-hmm. It's that they're thoroughly irresponsible.
Yeah.
We're talking about a 19-year-old who's making 10, 11 grand in a good week.
Yeah.
Can't get that her cell phone's getting turned off. Can't make a call payment. These girls, you'll notice every agency. I can show you. I'll take you on the internet one time. I'll show you all these agencies. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They all have drivers. Agencies who provide the girls to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
These agencies employ guys to drive the girls. Their sole job is to pick the fucking girl up.
Uh huh.
Get her to the set.
Wow.
And then bring her back.
And this is all just
because
for
they have
pussy,
no fucking
man.
Cars. They have no fucking cars.
Yeah.
They don't fucking drive because they're so irresponsible. They don't own cars. They don't have driver's licenses. These girls are a fucking mess. And all you do is you babysit them.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's all about
that. I mean, the money people are willing to spend for pussy, you know, it's just amazing to me.
And it is also, by the way, it has become a way for people to get around prostitution laws. Did you know that?
No.
Because in California, because of the laws and all this stuff, obviously, you know, if you think about it, right, isn't porn prostitute, right?
I mean,
it's like
it is. You're paying for sex,
right? Okay. Yeah. Now, granted, the two people having sex aren't necessarily in the transaction, but somebody's getting paid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or both people are getting paid. So here's the thing: guys are doing is guys are putting ads on Craigslist. I was just reading about this.
Mm-hmm.
Guys are putting ads on Craigslist and advertising for a quick porn shoot, point of view, POV, point of view. You know, like the guy's got the camera.
Right.
You know, pays $300 for 1 hour of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's how some of these
They'll
guys are trying
it,
to tiptoe
huh?
around
yeah.
the law. And
yeah.
they're trying to get these, trying to pay for sex and to figure, well, if I'm filming it.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'll get the fucker too.
And then it ain't, yeah. and I'm not going to end up, and it's not prostitution. If I'm paying her for it. So it really, it's, and that's what makes it all so silly. Hey, again, here's where I'm a kind of a weird sort of conservative. I don't think prostitution should be illegal. I don't think,
no.
I don't think
a victimless crime.
I think it needs to be thoroughly regulated. I think it needs to be off the streets. I think you pick up the girls doing it on the streets. Don't do it on the streets.
Yeah.
But call girls. Women of the night, the madams and all that, go do it. What the fuck? I mean, absolutely do it. It's not reinventing the wheel. I see a shadow.
Oh, you see a shadow?
I see people. There we go.
Okay, we got some people here. Okay, we're going to take a quick break.
Do you want to take a break? You want me to just bring them in?
No, we'll take a quick break.
You sure?
We can get more situated.
Man, they're filming the.
Okay, we'll be back right after this.
All right.
Lovers of the light, as two blind lovers steal the night. Can you feel it? Can you feel it inside? Decorated drunken lives, can't eclipse those starry eyes. Can you feel it? Can you feel it inside? Can we go where lucid dreamers fly? Can we go where language isn't wide? Can we go where summer's never lie?
listeners brave demeanors. Can you feel it? Can you feel it's inside? Faithful souls with aging leaves stand patrol as rain deceives. Can you feel it? Can you feel it's inside? Can we go where lucid dreamers fly? Can we go where language isn't white? Can we go where summers never lie? Summers never lie. But isn't it about
Okay, and we're back, and we have our guest in the studio. Yeah. Good morning to you.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Okay, and your name is Rebecca?
Linares.
Linares.
Yes.
And where are you from, Rebecca?
I'm from Spain, Barcelona.
Really?
Yes.
And when did you come here?
Like 3 years ago.
3 years ago?
Yeah.
Wow, you speak good English.
Pretty much.
In America, you don't need to talk. You just need to know how to behave, right?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. No, you are the most charming. We've met several women in the adult world.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Several actresses have been here. And you are absolutely charming. Do you notice a difference between the women in the adult industry in Spain,
yeah,
and in Los Angeles? What is the difference between Spain and Los Angeles for
Well, I'm charming for you, but I have a very strong personality.
Yeah.
You have a very strong personality.
You can have a strong personality and still be nice.
Yeah.
But how do you like the girls who work in Los Angeles in the adult industry?
How I like?
How do you like them? The girls, I mean, do you...
I think it's very sweet girls.
Yeah?
Yeah. Spanish, the girls have a, you know, the personality is very strong. And you never know when you say something, maybe you can be angry.
Yeah. So what does it mean to have a strong personality? What does that mean?
Well, she want to have a control of everything.
I see.
Here, maybe the girls is a little... I don't know.
You like to control things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You like to control men, too?
Yes.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about this. You're an adult star.
Yeah.
Maybe we ask how old you are?
I'm 25 years old.
25? Wow. Doesn't she look 15 to you?
No, she does not look 15. She looks 23 years old.
I don't know. She looks young to me, which is nice. Now, were you doing adult films in Spain before you came here?
I do for 10 months, but it's different because there it's more slowly, the business. So maybe I do 40 movies or something like this in 10 months. And then when I come here, I do all in maybe like 50 scenes in 2 months.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a lot of fucking DJs.
Jesus Christ. Jesus, do you take a lot of naps? Do you sleep a lot? A lot of siestas?
Not much.
Muchas siestas. God almighty.
Yeah. Wow.
God, that's a lot of... Wow. So you've been here now for 3 years. You've been working for 3 years,
yes,
in the United States. And so how many films have you done altogether here now?
More than 600 and less than 700.
Oh, my God.
You can think of how many men I have experienced.
That's a lot of men.
Yeah.
Do you do it with women, too?
Yeah.
You like women?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm very selective.
Very selective.
Yeah, because some girls is a little like a divas.
Yeah.
So you need to be a little like, you need to tell her, oh, I like your hair, I like you, your stuff, I like you, whatever
really?
It is.
Yeah,
she feel more comfortable, so.
Yeah.
Just like.
Did you like girls in Spain too?
A couple, yeah.
Yeah? Wow. Have you ever been involved with one or just in the movies?
Well, in my personal life, yes, I have experience.
Really?
And what about a relationship? What about, have you ever, like, you have boyfriends?
Or I always have a boyfriend. I need a penis for fag.
I need a penis to pee with, too.
Everybody
needs a penis.
Everyone
there
needs,
you go.
Yeah. Everyone needs one. The lady from Spanish TV, she needs a penis. Everybody needs a penis.
Yeah.
Are you a contract girl with any of the
No, I work for everybody.
You work for everybody. Now, is that better for you to work for everybody, or would you like to be a contract girl?
Well, normally the contract girl is doing when you are new because you don't have so much experience and it can be good.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's more like secure, make one money every month for a little job.
Sure.
But if you really enjoy and you wanna, you know, you wanna do this job really good, you need to work for everybody and experience with different companies, different.
Who's your favorite company to work for? Do you have a favorite production company?
Elegant Angel.
Elegant Angel? Yeah, they have good stuff.
Yeah, Evil Angel too.
Evil Angel, sure.
Jill Jordan.
That's cool. And who's your favorite? Who's your favorite girl that you've worked with so far?
Oh. Belladonna.
Belladonna.
You know her?
Holy shit.
Really?
I know
Jesse James. She is.
Jesse James.
She's crazy.
Yeah, she's nuts.
Really?
She's crazy.
Yeah. And I don't know who you guys talk about.
I like Layla Starr, too. I like Layla Starr. You know Layla Starr?
Layla Starr. No, but I'm sure she would like me.
She's a contract girl for Gina Jameson.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah. All right. And
she's
what about...
Latin.
She's Latin. Yeah.
Latin. We love Latin girls here. Yeah, yes.
See, but now this is different now. Americans, especially in L.A., they think of Latin. They think, the Mexican girl.
I'm from Europe. I'm from Europe.
I know,
Latin.
But yes. I know you're Latin. I know. This is what I'm saying because I'm very smart. I know. God damn it. I know you're Latin.
DJ's got high IQ when it comes to women.
Very high Latin IQ. I know. See. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro. Yes, I know. And what about guys? What about your favorite male porn star? Or does it even matter? Who cares?
I don't know. So many guys.
I
normally work with a professional penis.
Professional penis?
Yeah, no matter if it's a handsome or not. It's his professional penis.
There's only one guy that you'll actually work with. There's only one penis. You say a professional penis, meaning
the professional guys.
Right.
So
I like more. I like men too. I don't really like a young guy like 20 or 22 because I feel like I'm fucking a baby boy.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Maybe you are. But now, do you get to choose the guys you're with? I mean, do you ever say, no, I don't want to have sex with this guy or that guy?
Well, all the girls have like a bad list of the guys you don't want to work.
Right.
Oh, bad.
So you all have a list.
Yeah. When the company's calling, say, yeah, I'm gonna put with this guy because you don't say what guy the company say.
Right.
If you have a problem, you have your bad list. Your agency will just say this guy you need to change.
Right. Every girl has a list of guys they work with, and you also have a list of things you will do and won't do, and those things are not negotiable. Now, what won't you do? What won't you do?
What will you not do? What's off
and
limits?
And the sex?
Do you don't do no anal, no ATM?
Oh,
no,
I do anal. I do ass to mouth. I do double penetration. I do with the black guys. What I don't do?
See, this is what I'm saying. It's easy to ask her what she doesn't do.
I've seen a few pictures of you with a really huge black cock.
Yeah.
And that's a turn on because you're kind of tiny and stuff, you know?
Speak for yourself. It's not a fucking turn on for me.
I don't know.
I hate that, actually.
The dick was almost as wide as her arm.
I hate that.
Well, I don't know. I have experience with, you know, this black girl.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple experience and not really good. So it's like,
with
not because
girl?
I don't like.
Does she have a big cock too?
I like the black. I don't
have
a problem.
No, I'm saying the black girl. Did the black girl have a blue?
I don't care.
Right,
it's,
exactly.
You know.
Did the black girl have a big cock too or no?
What?
Just a joke. Just
but I have a couple problems with a black girl, so I feel a little like, you know, I don't feel really comfortable because one girl almost, she pushed me in the face. Because, you know...
Well, so that's the black girls you're talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Why are they like that?
I like the girls, but some girls I think is very exotic face, but it's the personality because I'm from Spain, you know. You know the Americans and black and white have all the that's problem.
Yeah, sure.
So when I come from another country and it's like I'm the last thing, like, you know, don't fucking play with me because... Yeah. And I feel like... I'm scared, like, she's going to push me in my face.
Wow.
You know, because I'm small, but I'm dominant. You cannot be dominant with one black girl.
Have you,
she have strong personalities, too. You
have you ever done a film, have you ever done a dominant film? Have you ever done any fetish films or any
you want to do something now?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's why he's here. Are you kidding?
You're fucking kidding me? I want.
Before we go on, go on.
Who's going on? Let's keep talking.
But wait a minute.
I want a scene.
But people want to see what she looks like. So why do you have a website that people can go
to? Before you kick my ass, where do people see you?
Rebecca with only one C.
One C.
Linares.
XXX.com.
XXX. Okay.
Rebecca Linares. XXX.com.
Okay.
Okay, I go to the MySpace. I'm there too.
Oh, but that's
boring. Really? Or they can Google your name. I mean, I did, and I found a lot of nice pictures there. So you guys can check it out. At any rate, what I wanted to ask you. Well, we're getting distracted here. Who is this, James?
James, he is
James,
my
come on
Yang.
In. Come on in, James. Yeah.
Yang. Okay.
James is a publicist,
and
we'll get him situated in just a second.
So I was curious, have you done fetish? Have you done bondage films and stuff like that? Have you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is that boring to you? Is that kind
of... No, I lie strong.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And what in that sort of fetish, what won't you do when it comes to fetish or bondage? Or
I don't like choking very strong. I don't like the people, how you say it?
Spitting
in my mouth.
Don't like that.
I don't like that either.
I don't like. Well, I don't like when one guy fuck one girl in the ass and want to put in my mouth.
Oh my god,
my ass,
that's a
your own ass. Your own ass, sure.
From my ass, yes.
My
from
ass,
my ass, no.
Yeah.
I know my own ass. I know what I've been eating. I know where my ass is.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. So he'll put it in your ass and then you'll suck it.
My ass, that's okay.
That's called
your ass is okay.
See,
another ass, no, because I don't know how she's.
Yeah, that's called ATM.
Yes.
Ass to mouth.
Yeah, oh, I see.
Mouth.
Now I know.
See,
I've read his report.
Yeah, hold on.
I know my shit.
Yeah.
I know a few things about a few things. I've been around.
Let's introduce James real quick. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
You finally made it to our studio.
I finally made it down here. You've only got two parking spots.
There's parking all over the place. Okay, but we'll accommodate you next time. We'll send a fucking limo.
I'm TJ. How are you?
Hi, TJ.
So, James,
Rebecca, you look so beautiful this morning.
Thank you.
One of
I had no makeup.
one of the most just charming women in adult that I've ever met.
Really?
And I've met tons of them.
I'm blown away.
No, I believe it. I believe it.
Yeah, James spoke highly of you. I mean, he said like you're the Jenna Jameson of what? Spain?
Of Spain,
of Europe,
yes.
Whatever. I mean, wow. You know, and you look like a regular girl. I mean, TJ, you saw her in the street.
I am.
But we were talking about women that don't
but
look.
True.
Right.
I'm looking like the girl working
next
in the
door.
Supermarket.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, now
exactly.
There's a question for you. Now because you're 25, you're an established actress. You have a following. Do some of the things about the industry kind of make you a little upset? Like for example, those girls that they make up to look very young, they put them in pigtails and they make them look like they're 12 years old. That's kind of fucked up.
When I started 3 years ago, I look in always with those things like a little girl because I have giant teeny body and small and that. But no, I'm more like more fetish and more glamour too.
Yeah, but I mean, but
I don't like because I think it's made pervert the people.
Exactly. That is
but
disturbing.
But you can't say anything to the scene, you know.
Oh yeah, no. Yeah, they don't like. Yeah, it's,
I mean,
they're
I don't
gonna
know.
Do what they're gonna do.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I understand. Yeah.
So, have you ever done gangbangs at all?
I do blow bank with 10 guys, and I do gangbang only with 5 guys.
5 guys.
Penetration and all, you know, that.
Yeah.
I think more it's too much. Maybe 5, 7, it's okay because it's like a fantasy. You fuck your friends in group, whatever.
I see.
But more than this, like, I don't know, some girls do like a 50 guys. I think that's disgusting.
So you think that guys actually like to be in a group and fuck a girl?
I don't think so. Well, I think so because they pay the same and then... and not really work a lot. But I don't think the guys like to be with fitting guys there stroking. Yeah.
No, I know. Yeah, I know.
Not look very sexy.
There's a stigmata
it's like
that happens.
I don't need to be there.
Yeah, what happens is it's a lot of times that these girls will do one of these great big blow bangs or a gangbang or something like that, and then they find it hard to get work. Not just because they're doing the gangbang, but also because their pussy's blown out.
Yeah.
Or their ass is blown out.
And you know, so let me ask you this question. What was it like your very first time that you ever did a scene? What was it like? And were you nervous? Were you happy? Were you scared? Were you turned on? Were you horny? Were you drunk? Were you high? Tell me the very first time.
I do one scene with in Spain with a friend, so it's looking like you do one audience home.
Mm-hmm. Ah, so it looked like amateur.
You experiment with the camera. It's like, I don't know. The second scene, yes, because it's a lot of people. You need dialogue and all the stuff. It's like 20
like?
Persons there watching you.
Yeah.
And I'm so nervous all the time with the gum. All the time, like, go to the bathroom with the nervous. Yeah. I still have nervous sometimes when I see so many people.
Really? Yeah. I would imagine. But you feel comfortable in front of the camera, right? I mean, there's people around and everything.
When I have my cock
right?
in my mouth, I just forget everything.
Really? So you really love it, right?
Yes.
I mean, you love what you're doing. You know, we get people in here sometimes, you know, say, no, they're pushed into
this. We get
this
the worst people in the world. You're the greatest person in the world. Okay.
But she loves sex. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Now, you probably do it for free too, right?
Well,
you love it so much.
What do you mean? No, I don't do movies.
James is
for
like
free.
Shaking her head.
No. I don't do movies for free.
No, not movies, but you love sex.
Oh, yeah, I fuck in my personal life, yeah.
Yeah, well, you better. Yeah, you gotta get some practice.
Well, I'm very... I can be two ways. I can be more romantic, or I can be more crazy
practice.
Than this.
She's the Michael Jordan of fucking over here. She don't need to practice. She's the Tiger Woods of fucking. She's Jose Maria Olazabal over here. I'm trying to give Spanish references.
She's nice Spanish.
Yeah, thank you. I'm pretty
Puff
good.
And
I'm,
taco. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. But you, Ed. So, what was it? So now the. So I already asked you if you. Do you do feature dancing? Do you dance? Do you go to clubs?
I start feature dancing now next week here in LA.
Oh, what's
in
okay.
Rio? Rio, I'm gonna be 22, 23, and 24.
Rio, 22, and where is Rio?
Where's Rio?
I'm gonna start. So I'm a little nervous because I don't really.
I'll be there front
dance.
And center. All right.
I don't really dance.
You haven't done
people,
it live,
so
huh? Yeah.
I'm gonna do what best I can.
Yeah, she can fuck in front of. People,
you know
but
what?
Not dance.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
People, I noticed this is radio, obviously an audio medium, but I can tell you right now that Rebecca, ass to mouth, need a cock, I'm happy with a cock. She really is nervous, and I can tell I can tell with your body
she's
language
on radio.
That she's that she's nervous about doing the feature dancing.
Oh, really?
So you can tell this is really sweet.
I am,
actually,
I am.
It's adorable. I'll protect you. I'll
because
take care
it's
of
the
you.
Beginning now. She's not.
Don't worry.
That's
to
funny
it,
because probably the stripper girls want to laughing about this, thinking like you cannot dance, but you can fag in front of the camera.
Right.
Second, you ass and you cog.
James, where is Rio? Do you know which
the
one?
The Rio Gentlemen's Club is right here in Los Angeles. I believe it's near downtown, isn't it? Honey?
I think so.
Yeah.
And so
I don't have time for thinking about it.
22, 23, 24. Yeah. And so that's going to be there. And
I think it's going to be 10, 12, and 2 a.m.
10, 12, and 2 a.m. Okay, cool. And
bring your money.
Yeah,
that's
bring your damn money. And will you be doing photos after? Will you be doing the Polaroid thing? The photos?
Yeah,
a
I'm going to sell
like,
some
movies
for the fans.
For like $150.
I hope
picture.
So the people come to see me. Because normally I'm... very difficult for the fans come to see me. You know, I always like I'm coming, and later I don't come. So
and they,
I'm gonna be there. So
okay. Oh, that's good to know. That's good. No,
feature dancing is so important for these girls.
Oh, it's huge. That's why I
because
yeah.
it not only promotes their movies, and their upcoming websites and everything like that, but it's also a way for the girls to make a little extra money, and for all of the fans out there. To meet the girls up front and personal, which
it's
is
like a
nice
mini convention. It's like a mini convention appearance.
Yeah,
it's
there
like,
you go.
It's like a
there
little
you
mini
go.
Intimate,
exactly.
You know, erotica LA. It's like that.
I'm scared about the pole dance because I really.
You know what? I have a pole.
I follow so many times.
You're going to be fine.
My wife has a pole. You can come on, or you can practice on the pole in the privacy of my home. And we'll
I don't know about it.
Well, no problem.
What the hell does your wife have a pole for?
Shut up.
You don't want to know.
Yeah, don't worry.
He didn't mean a dance pole. There's a Polish guy that comes.
Yeah, there's a guy named Kowalski in my house. That she can,
And he just sits there and goes, ride me.
Now this poor thing, it's all going right past us. Sorry, sweetheart. Yeah. Alicante. Alicante, Spain.
Alicante.
I know Alicante. I know Alicante.
Rebecca, let me ask you this. Do you get into the sex when you have it on screen? Do you ever come during filming?
Yeah, I come. But really? It's not always, because you're working and maybe you will to do more is lonely to come. And you can because you're on the scene. You know, you're doing your job. You pretend you can't sometimes.
Right.
But yes, I come. You can see my face when I'm screaming and I feel my body like a little dance, like that way.
Really? But so how do you come? I mean, do you have to have like stimulation to the clit, or can you just from...
You need to fuck me strong, baby.
Fuck you strong and you can come from that? Really?
Yeah.
Without stimulation, without any manual stimulation?
Well,
with the fingers?
I like the guys leave my pussy.
Yeah, eat your pussy. Definitely you can come that way.
Yeah, maybe that after that.
I've yet to meet a woman that does not come from oral sex. I don't know.
Well, so many guys have this problem in the real life. So many girls don't really have sex with a boyfriend. You know, it's like, okay, let's go far one time a week, but don't really come, don't really like, because it's boring. You know,
it's boring to them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you in your private life, you say you always have a boyfriend?
I don't have no boyfriend anymore this year. It's like a new life, new boyfriend.
Now, your last boyfriend. Now, the guys that you've dated since you've been in the United States. Since you've been here in America.
Yeah.
Your boyfriends, are they in the industry?
Do you want to speak about my ex-boyfriend now?
I don't want to talk about him.
I'm just saying,
was he in the industry?
Yeah, general.
Yeah, he's in the industry, but he's not performing. He's a director.
I got you.
You know, by the way, TJ, that James is a performer, right, James?
Yeah.
And you've been doing a lot of movies for a long time.
I'm doing Happy Days on Monday.
Really? They're doing like all the sitcoms now.
How old? Yeah.
What do you mean? How many years?
Yeah, how old?
See, uno, dos, tres. Tres. Fourth, cuatro. Fourth year.
Fourth year. 34?
4 year. Cuatro años.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Wait, so 43. So you're doing porn versions of Happy Days now?
Yeah. Porn version of Happy Days. We won for Bewitched last Saturday.
At the AVN. Yeah. Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, that was great.
Fantastic.
And we've got Three's Company coming out soon.
Nice.
And we're doing Married with Children. And
they did the Brady Bunch too, right?
Yeah,
the Brady Bunch.
Great. That's great.
I've got to get Rebecca in some features.
Did you?
Yeah, well, I leave in 26 to Spain for 2 weeks, and then
I'll bring
come back
to the
again.
Airport.
Come back 9th February. How you say?
9th of February.
February. Si. Are you going to see your family back there?
Yeah, I'm gonna take a break. I'm gonna see my family, my friends.
Does your family know what you do?
Yeah,
they do.
Yeah, my father is okay with this, and he is.
Your father's
very,
okay, really.
He's very approved. He is very how you say approved?
Supportive.
He's approved.
Yeah, he thinks it's a really hard work, you know.
Yeah.
And my mom.
It is hard work. Yeah,
in more ways than one.
Yeah, there you go.
My mom is a thing different. Sometimes yes, sometimes it's, because she say all the time, yeah, my daughter, she's a porn star in America, all this. But sometimes the people say, oh, I don't really think it's a good thing sucking cocks all day long for money. So she feel a little like, oh yeah, well, she don't really know.
Do you have a big family, brothers, sisters?
I am for two brothers and two sisters.
Do they know? So they know what you do too.
So they know. I'm sure.
Well, I have
does,
two
yeah.
little brothers. One brother was 7 years old, and another sister with 12.
Okay, so they
know.
So that's a young family there.
No,
my sister with 20, she have a baby. And my brother, my big brother is 27. He know too.
Okay, all right. So he knows.
So how did you decide? You decided one day you're going to get into porn, or was this something you were thinking? How old were you when you were thinking, I want to get into porn?
Well, I watch porno from, I look in magazines, I look in porno with 14 years old.
Really?
Yeah, my first time is, the first time I fight with one guy, my boyfriend, I do with 14 years old.
Really? 14? Wow.
Yeah.
How old was he?
He's 16.
He was 16. Okay.
Yeah, good. Bad penis, because I changed. 2 weeks later, I changed the boyfriend. You know,
you
like,
changed
what
boyfriend.
The fuck?
I need a new cock now.
Yeah, because I fuck like for 2 weeks, like two times a day, like a rabbit all day long.
Really?
And I don't have orgasm. So I said, I think the penis is a problem. And I changed, and that's the problem.
Yeah. But you knew you could have orgasms masturbating and stuff before, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you just wanted.
You know, I have a question sometimes.
Yes.
The girls say I'm multi-orgasmic.
Right.
What you mean? Like you can come more than one time, or you can come.
Yeah, many, one after another.
Because I can count 3-4 times, yeah. But I need my time.
You need break.
You know,
need
so a break. What is an orgasm?
I think that's more.
I don't understand.
That's multi-orgasmic too. Yeah, as long as you can go and keep going, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I think that's what it is.
I think multi-orgasmic means.
No?
Have you had a multi-orgasm?
Not me, but with women, yes, yes.
One and two, three, no stop.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't think really it really
it does. It does.
Everybody's different.
I
don't know what to tell you about it. Yeah. So many girls lie too. I come. I have a big orgasm.
What do you think is your best asset? What is your favorite part of your body? What is it?
My little butt.
Your little butt. Yeah.
Yeah, your little butt.
Everybody love my asshole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is spectacular.
My ass with this guy now.
Is it?
God damn it.
Well, you know.
What did you think you were going to
talk about? Obama? We're going to talk about Obama?
I think he's fucking attractive.
Of course. Like
him. I'm a honey with this man.
Really?
Yeah.
You do him in a second.
Yeah,
huh?
I'm so happy he wins. I'm so happy.
Yeah, me too. Now you're
right.
That's why we can't get her to the inauguration. Because the wife doesn't want her there.
But it's a little. I mean, I'm scared sometimes about it because if it happens something to Obama,
mm-hmm.
it can be a big problem.
I know. I hope everything's okay.
I hope so. Everything's okay because everybody approved Obama, no matter what color he is. Or
right.
He's fucking hot.
Yeah. Right. So now your ass.
Obama, my ass.
Yeah, it is very special. It is very special. The ass has become very popular these days. America has suddenly become an ass. Not anal. Oh, you're disgusting.
I think about ass. Question James. I don't have nothing to do with
that. No, I'm talking about just the ass. I think because when we had this Latin explosion, when Jennifer Lopez became popular, America finally went from becoming a boob culture. Went from tits to now tits and ass. Now,
and
me and my friends, we were ahead, but because you have Jennifer Lopez. You have also the Kim Kardashian, Shakira. Shakira.
Oh my god.
Okay. Well,
Shakira is it's all about the ass now. It's all about the ass.
Yeah.
Not really. 1 year is about the blondes with the big boobies. Another year is for the big asses.
Another year is
for the crazy
fetish
thing and then crazy stuff. Another year for the teens.
Next year it could be hunchbacks.
Yeah, let's take a quick...
let's see what happens this
phone
year.
Call.
What is?
Quick phone call. Hold on. Good morning. You're on the air with Rebecca
Linares.
Linares.
And her ass.
Yes. Go ahead.
Hello, and this is my first time listening to this show, and I just turned it on, and oh my God, what are we talking about?
We're talking about the election of Barack Obama and the Israeli occupation of Gaza.
You tuned in on the wrong day.
Oh my God.
Is this Nikisha?
This is Nikisha Michelle.
Yeah.
Good morning.
I could recognize your voice. How are you, Nikisha?
I'm great. I just decided to turn it on, and I said, let's hear what's going on in the morning.
We've been turned on for about 20 minutes here, Nikisha.
Nikisha, go back to sleep. This is not for you.
I can tell. I am not ready for this. Y'all have a great day.
Yeah. Nikisha, thanks so much for calling. Nikisha, of course, has the show Living Vivaciously, and that's Thursdays at 4. And thank you so much for calling, Nikisha. And don't turn on the radio.
She has a nice voice.
She has a very nice voice. Her voice is like your ass. Perfect. round. It's a nice round voice. It's a full, perfect voice.
I think Travis, he's horny already.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, Nikisha. Bye. Take care.
You.
You know, more women are getting into porn and to adult films now.
Why do you think?
Because I think the movies that we're making now are better quality, and there's something that both the men and the women can appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their fantasies are being fulfilled, and they're realizing. Well, sometimes
I don't know what thinking about it because I have
sometimes
when kind of people like more amateur more like real people, yeah. No, like mm-hmm. perfect bodies and perfect girls. You
some
know?
People like the gonzo stuff. Some people like.
Well,
the,
I personal life, I like more the bellies and the little big guys.
The kind
of what?
A big guy with a little belly. I don't
like a big guy with a little belly.
How about I don't like this. How about a little guy with a little belly?
Wait, we can't hear.
Why that's a, so big?
How about a little guy with a little belly?
like him?
No, like me. God damn! Oh, God damn. Fuck him!
I already do.
Fuck the camera guy.
Well, she fucks the camera guy. What the fuck, man?
Him.
How about fucking the radio DJs? Jeez, here, man?
I don't know. I'm thinking about it.
God Almighty.
Do you right here on the fucking table?
No, but you're so young. How old are you?
I'm 40.
You don't 40.
Thank you very much, Rebecca Liades. No. I'm 40. I just turned 40 in
He's
June.
He's 40 yeah. years old, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Well, you look more young. I really like men like 35, 45.
Really?
Man, you know?
Yeah, like a man, a real man.
I mean, he know how...
Yeah, how to fuck, definitely.
Yeah,
DJ knows how to fuck, and I'm still working on it. But
and it know. Comes with papers and recommendations.
Yeah, I have all my shots. Yeah. And so now you seem very healthy. You take care of yourself.
Healthy?
Yeah.
Well, I eat a lot of carbs.
A lot of protein.
Yeah, a lot of protein for my face.
And now you also do you smoke? Do you drink?
I don't drink. Maybe if I go party, I take a couple
right.
of drinks.
See, now this is something else too. And this is something else too. It helps you being in the industry because the industry is full of a lot of girls, a lot of drugs, a lot of meth, a lot of messed up girls.
I, for example, if I need to go to the party, whatever, a party or whatever, if next day I'm working, I don't go out.
There's a stigmata about the adult industry that it's constantly you get on the set and there's like lots of drugs going on.
I cancel a couple scenes.
That's not true anymore. That is not true anymore.
I don't know.
Well, some of the girls and some of the guys, they're kind of messed
up. I cancel a couple scenes because the girl, she's like a dancing follower.
And a lot of times the girls don't show up. I mean, because I have a couple of friends, I have a couple agents, and a couple of guys who run a couple companies.
Well, it's better than
come
drunk.
And exactly, you know, exactly. But anyway, it's just nice. It's refreshing. And I think that's one of the things that struck me when you first walked in here was your eyes are big and clear and you're
well, the guys staying doing drugs have a big eyes too.
Well, big pupils, yeah. But you're clean and you're healthy and you're very pretty
what I'm doing, and all I do shit sometimes, you know, you never know. It's like ass, you fucking ass, so you never know sometimes coming things.
you have to be clean down there.
Yeah.
Oh, if you do anal, you have to douche the ass.
DJ, can you imagine how cute her pussy must look? I mean, she's small and
small
she's young
in the color
and young.
Pink.
Yes, man.
That's why you got to go to her website.
And the color pink.
Yeah, and go ahead and let's wrap up because we have to go. But let's plug some of your stuff.
Yeah, let's plug Rebecca.
Give you a website again. It's Rebecca Linares.
Rebecca, only with one C.
One C.
Linares, XXX.com.
Okay. And what are some of the movies that you're proud of? What are some of the good movies?
I really like one. I have like six scenes. One bonus. It's all about me, and it's very different scenes. It's called Rebecca Linares Rebecca.
I mean Rebecca Linares Raw.
Yeah.
Raw. Rebecca Linares Raw.
R-A-W. Yeah. That was the one that was a nominee this year.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Did you win any prizes? Any awards, I mean?
No. I think next time I'm going to suck somebody's cock for get a win.
Yeah.
did you like AVN? Did you have fun?
Yeah, but it's like a little show thing. Yeah. Not really.
Have you been before?
Yeah.
Oh, so for 3 years you've been going, yeah? So it's not as fun? The first time was probably fun.
It's like
a
bore because it's like a 4 or 5 hours there watching how the people win.
Yeah.
She got a lot of accolades for her dress.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just like they do at the Golden Globes and stuff.
Yeah.
And they talk about the fashion.
Right.
And a lot of people were saying what a beautiful outfit that she had.
What did you wear?
Because it was gorgeous.
What I wear? I don't remember.
It was beautiful. It was a purplish and black.
Black
or
and
red. Black and red. Mm. Black and red
with the
dress.
With the flowers in my hair.
With the flowers.
Oh, very Spanish.
It looked
kind
of like
a... Yeah, with a very like...
A choker.
Like a flamenco.
It's like a
flamenco dance.
Like a flamenco thing.
Almost.
Flamenco or like
but
more language thing. Like a cabaret thing. Mm-hmm.
But it was gorgeous. It was like a designer dress and she looked absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's more
beautiful.
Cheap than what I bought last year and it's looking more pretty this year.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, well, guys, we got to wrap up. Rebecca Linares, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
You're a lot of fun. All the best to you, okay?
And your ass.
Yeah. How many more years do you think you're going to do this? For a long time?
Wow, this is a good question. I don't know.
Okay, maybe you can come back and tell us next time.
Tomorrow.
Okay. Come back tomorrow. James, thank you so much for joining us as well.
Thank you, Sam. We finally get to meet you. Beautiful place here.
Thank you. Thank you. And James is the guy that always sends us the beautiful women.
I know.
And stuff,
I got to make.
You need to put something in the door. Like, you come in. Yeah. You can come in because I touching in the door. Nobody opened the door.
No, well,
and I look stupid.
No. Well, we left the door open for you, the first one. You mean outside?
You need to put like a reception. Can come in.
You can never look stupid.
All right, everyone, and TJ. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Well, thank you, buddy. It's a great time.
I'm speaking languages now.
Stick around for. Is Dr. Michelle coming?
Dr. Michelle is coming.
And then my show. I'm on in an hour, so stick around for me at noon east, three in the west. Noon west, three in the East,
and don't forget to be here Monday. Susie's going to be back, and we're going to have awesome time.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend, and we'll see you here on Monday.
You have been listening to Sam and Susie in the Morning, which airs every weekday at 9 a.m. Pacific. To contact the show, please email your question or comment to sam@latalkradio.com or susie@latalkradio.com. A complete list of all past shows can be found on our archives page and on iTunes. For sponsorship or advertising information, email us at info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Susie in the Morning is a presentation of LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.